that first Advent day, this is the first Sunday of Advent, by the way, the angels of that first Advent, they announced something amazing to a little girl called Mary, and we're going to read about that now. So we have the slides up on the screen, that'll be fantastic. So this is Luke 1, 26-38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a child, a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High Lord will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she was said to be unable to conceive, is now in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. So hopefully, if you've managed to avoid temptation, you will find on the seats when you come in a couple of pieces of paper and a pipe cleaner. Has everyone got those? If you've got one of those, can you just wave them so I know that you've got them? If you haven't got some and there's some spare ones lying around, can you put your hand up now so that we can try and get some to you? That would be great. Chris Parsons hasn't got one. There's one on your seat. There we go, Chris. Okay. What we're going to do is we're going to make an angel together, okay? And this is an angel that you can take home. You can hang it on your Christmas tree. Or you can put it somewhere around your house. And first of all, take one of your pieces of paper and fold it into a concertina fan. So start at one end, fold this one long ways, and then keep folding it back again. Someone once told me never to do origami in midair, but I'll have a go. So make sure this one's long ways. If you don't do it long ways, that's okay, you can fix it in a minute. So you get a little bit of a fan that looks like this. Okay, wave them to me so I know you've got that far when you're ready. Could do with one of these. It's really warm up here today. Okay, if you've got your first one done, take your second piece of paper, but this time, don't fold it long ways. Fold it on the short edge, like this. Unless, of course, the first time around you fold it on the short edge, fold this one long ways and vice versa. So you end up with one long one and one short one. Okay, when you've got both, wave them in the air. Quick people, fantastic. Okay, give a few more seconds. Okay, take your long one and fold it in the middle halfway, like that. Fold it in the middle. I don't know if you can see the screen very well, but what we're going to do is we're going to put the folded one on top of the non-folded one. Great, so when you've got your angel's cloak and wings, hold them up so I can see. Great, they're looking good. Okay, and if you've got a pipe cleaner, just pop your pieces of paper down for a moment if you need to. Take your pipe cleaner and put a loop in the top. That's going to be your angel's head or its halo, if you prefer. Like that. Let me see those when you've got that far. So just a loop in the top and leave the rest dangling. Everybody with us so far? Good. Anyone struggling? This is a craft for preschoolers, so I'm sure you can cope. Okay, take your piece of paper and pinch it at the top like that with your wings and your angel's cloak hanging down. And what you're going to do is just put the pipe cleaner and wrap it around the top and use the long bit that's left just to tie the whole way around until you've got it all looped around like that. And it should hold it in place for you. And then you can just adjust the little halo to go over your angel's head. I'm going to give you 5 seconds to finish this, I think. 5 long seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1. Hold them all up. Yay. Give yourselves a round of applause. Well done, if you managed that. Yay. Fantastic. If you're a slow coach, you could keep working on that while we keep talking. That's not a problem. When you get home, feel free to put it on your Christmas tree. Who's got the Christmas tree up already? Put your hands up. You've got your Christmas tree up. It's still November. What are you doing? Fantastic. Just take your angel for a second and look at it. And just be quiet for just a moment. We're going to ask some questions. And I just want you to think about these questions. Just take your angel and have a little look at it. And I wonder how you would have felt. Just answer this in your head. I wonder how you would have felt if an angel had appeared to you suddenly. I mean, angels always have to say, don't be afraid when they appear out of the blue. I wonder how you would have felt when an angel might have appeared to you. I wonder how you would have reacted. Wonder what you would have done. Would you have been scared? Would you have accepted, like Mary did, what was happening and her role in God's great big story? Or would you have run away? The angel told Mary that she was going to have a really special child, that he was going to be a king, the son of God. He was going to save his people. I wonder how she would have felt knowing that she was to deliver that baby to the people. I wonder what was going through her mind at the time. And the angel told her that this child that was born, he was to be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. I wonder how she felt knowing that her son was going to be God's child, God with us, God with meat on, with flesh and bones, who came to join us. And we're going to sing a couple of songs about that now. So if I can invite the band to come back up, that would be fantastic. And they're going to sing to us about Emmanuel and about this time of Advent and preparing about God being with us. I'm just going to read from one of my favourite passages. It's the Message version of John, chapter 1. And it's titled, The Life Light. The Word was first. The Word present to God. God present to the Word. The Word was God, in readiness for God from day one. Everything was created through him. Nothing, not one thing, came into being without him. What came into existence was life. And life was light to live by. The life light blazed out of darkness, and the darkness couldn't put it out. And from verse 9, the life light was the real thing. Every person entering life, he brings into light. He was in the world was there through him, and yet the world didn't even notice. He came to his own people, but they didn't want him. But whoever did want him, who believed he was who he claimed, and would do what he said, he made to be their true selves. Their child of God selves. These are the God begotten, not blood begotten, not flesh begotten, not sex begotten. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one of a kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. And this morning, as we're talking about Emmanuel, God with us, I just wanted to reflect on verse 14. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. I love that phrase. I think it's great. It reminds me that God is present where I am, in my neighborhood, in my community, in my area of work, in my school, in my college, wherever I am, God is with me. He's moved into the neighborhood with me because he dwells with us. He's with us. And just want to remember that that angel that appeared to Mary, Advent started with an angel bringing this amazing news. It announced that the time is now. The time is now for all of us. We all have a duty to deliver that good news, to bring the Word, that life light, into the situations we find ourselves in. So this Advent, as we talk about the Advent conspiracy of loving more and spending less and giving more of ourselves and all the different tenets that we have in there, just remember that you are going to deliver him to his people, to the people who need him. Now, I wonder how well you know the Christmas story. Because I'm going to test you. We're going to have a bit of a quiz. So I hope you've remembered and got your thinking caps on today. If we could have the first question up, that's great. So if I move this to one side, I have got with me my, because it's Advent, Advent calendar. How many people have got an Advent calendar at home? How many people have eaten all the chocolates already? Oh, okay. Very good. Okay, brilliant. So Advent calendars are great. We've got one for each day of December leading up to Christmas Day. So sometimes they've got 24 days, sometimes they've got 25 days. Ours has got 12 doors because we haven't got all month for this activity. We're going to do this. So what we're going to do is I'm going to ask you some questions. Each question is going to be on the screen. There are three possible answers. One of them is normally the true answer. If you answer correctly, what I would like is someone to come up to the front. Now, it doesn't normally need to be the person who answered correctly, but if you've got a child with you or in your row or nearby or a young person, if you want to send them in your stead, that would be great. If you can't find anyone, come up yourself. And what I want you to do is simply just open one of these doors. And behind each of these doors is something that's part of Christmas, but isn't the heart of Christmas. Does that make sense? Shall we begin? Fantastic. Okay. So, Joseph lived in the town of... Hands up if you know the answer. Yes. Bethlehem. Daniel, do you want to come up and open a door for me, mate? Well done. Trick question. I fooled you. You can open it anyway. Come on, come on. As you know, I've been rehearsing my story. Okay, so the correct answer is... But just wait a second, Daniel. Nazareth. Of course we knew that, didn't we? Who else was fooled? Well done, guys in the front row. Okay, open the door. What's behind it? It's mistletoe. Ooh. We got any mistletoe here today? No, I hope not. Okay. Have a seat. Thank you. That's brilliant for me. Okay, so mistletoe, it's part of Christmas, but is it the heart of Christmas? No. Okay, right. Next question. Joseph was pledged to be married to... Don't shout. Oh, Jane. Mary, well done. Would you like to come up or do you want to nominate someone to do it? Well done, Abby's coming. Fantastic. Okay. So we've had mistletoe, part of Christmas, not the heart of Christmas. Do you want to open this one for me, number two? Give it a good tug. That's it. What's that? A reindeer. Fantastic. Do you want to have a seat for me, Abby? Fantastic. Is a reindeer the heart of Christmas? Or is it just part of Christmas? Some of you don't seem very sure anymore. Okay, next question. Mary's the answer. Mary was how old? Pop your hands up if you think you know the answer. JJ. 29 again. No. Have you heard that one before? Sorry. Do you want to have another go, JJ? Well done. Come on, have a go at opening one of these doors. Mary was about 14 years old, we think. Right, what's that? Christmas pudding. Does JJ like Christmas pudding? No, I don't like Christmas pudding either. High five. Yes. Kindred spirits. Who does like Christmas pudding? Quite a lot of you. Okay. Right. So with JJ now, there's more to share, I suppose. More to share. Is it the heart of Christmas? No. Okay, so Mary was about 14. Who appeared to Mary? Was it Nigel Hemming? No. Well, comes on here. Yes. An angel. Well done, Kitty. Come up here. Door number four there for us. What have we got? Naughty or nice? How many parents, I'm one of these, who say, you better be nice this Christmas or you'll not get any presents? Is it just me? Okay, we'll move on then. So it was an angel that appeared to Mary. The angel told her about the best deals on Amazon to run away to Egypt or that she was going to have a special baby. We got someone back there with Steve. Yes, who's that? I can't quite hear you, but everyone's nodding. So come on up, that's brilliant. The correct answer was that she was going to have a special baby. Is it Seth or Josiah? Here we go. Oh, which one are we on? We're in five, down here. Give it a good tug. What's that? Can you tell everyone what that is? Christmas lights. Christmas lights and Christmas decorations. Okay, open it nice and wide. That's it, so everyone can have a look. Fantastic. Thank you very much, Seth. That's brilliant. So it's Christmas lights and decorations. Isn't it amazing the job that everyone's done decorating this place? Just give everyone a round of applause for that. It's great. It's been such a transformation. I swear some people have lived here for the past week putting these things up. But is it the heart of Christmas or just the part of Christmas? Just a part of Christmas. Okay. The baby was going to be a king, the son of God, or the savior of the world. Tell me. No. Anybody else? We've got yes. Savior of the world, not the right answer. Yeah? King. Is there another alternative? All of them. Yay, well done. Tommy, you answered first. You want to come and open the door for us? Where are we at? We're at number 6, I think, which is down here. Kitty, do you want to pull this one? There we go. What's that, Kitty? Do you want to pull it nice and wide? It's a Christmas turkey, a Christmas dinner. Who likes Christmas dinner? Yay! Is it the heart of Christmas? Christmas dinner is great, isn't it? Because we get together with our family and we share together in this fantastic meal. And we make that the kind of the focus of Christmas Day sometimes. But it's not the heart of Christmas either. So, there's no more trick questions, okay? They went to Bethlehem to find a hospital, attend a wedding, or register. God, yeah. Sorry? Speak up. Yes, register. Louise is nodding, so you must have got it right. Come on up. So, Libby, we are on question 7. So, down here. That's it. Give it a tug. And what's behind there? A present. Well done. Thank you, Libby. Who likes presents? Yay. Who's been guilty by all the money they've spent after listening to the Advent conspiracy for the past 3 weeks? A few hands going out. Okay. Presents are great. They're a fabulous part of Christmas. The wise men brought gifts, and that's where that tradition comes from. But it's not the heart of Christmas either. And yet we spend so much of our time doing our shopping and putting our energy into getting the right gifts for everyone at Christmas. So they travel to Bethlehem by donkey, on foot, or by taxi. Let's go a little bit further back. Girl in the hat. By donkey, what do people think? Is a donkey in the Bible? Oh, do you know what? I'm going to give you can come up and open the door, but the actual answer is probably most likely they went on foot. There's no donkey mentioned in the Bible. There is in the Easter story, but fortunately for our Advent fair, donkeys are associated with Christmas, so we can have them at the fair. So, what's behind the door? A Christmas tree! Isn't it great, the Christmas tree? Well done, thank you very much. That's great. So, Christmas trees, we have them in all of our houses, don't we? Some people have got them up already, we put them on our porches, we go into town and we see them being lit up and things like that. Are they the heart of Christmas? Or just part of Christmas? Can I hear you? Are they the heart of Christmas? No, okay. Question 9, there was no room for them in the palace, the premier inn, or the inn. Who hasn't answered yet? I'll come over this way. Have you answered yet? The inn. Well done. Come on up. So we're on number 9, this one in the corner. That's it. What's behind there?
Christmas cards.
Christmas cards. Yeah, how many people like writing Christmas cards at Christmas? Yeah, thank you very much. You guys can go back down. Over here, we're going to look at it a bit later on, but I've got a Christmas card for us as well. And you might notice there's something wrong with it, but we'll come back to that a little bit later on. That's our Christmas card for later on. But Christmas cards are great because we get to greet everyone. But is it the heart of Christmas? No. You sure? Are you awake? Is it the heart of Christmas? No. Okay. Question 10. Mary placed the baby, Jesus, into a Moses basket, shoebox, or a feeding tray? Feeding tray, yeah, or a manger. That's right. Well done. Where are we? We're at number 10, so over here. Give that a good tug. What's behind there? TV! Yeah, it's a very old-fashioned TV. It's not a flat screen that you got in the Black Friday sales. Okay, have a seat for me, that's great. So, TV's brilliant, isn't it? I knew it was Christmas in my house when the TV Times came out and you could get to plan what you were going to watch ahead of time. You'd sit and look at all the movies were on. Is it the heart of Christmas? No. Okay. We're nearly there. People heard about the birth via text message, angelic choir, or Facebook. I'm trying to find. Put your hands up if you haven't answered yet. Have you answered yet? You can't remember. Okay, do you want to do another one for us? What do you think it was? Angelic choir. Well done. Come on up. Number 11 there. Give that one a good tug. Who's that? Santa Claus. Yay, thank you very much. You can have a seat again. Who likes Santa Claus? And all the presents that he brings. And Santa's such an important part of Christmas, he even comes in Coca-Cola trucks and things like this these days. He's integral to our Christmas. But is he the heart of Christmas? Yes, says JJ. I think for the majority of people, possibly thinking outside the church mostly, Santa is what Christmas is mostly all about these days. But is he the heart of Christmas? No, okay. Last question. The first people to visit the baby Jesus were friends and family, the midwife, or the shepherds. There's a whole host of hands right at the back, and I've been ignoring you, sorry. What's the answer? Ask mommy. Yay, well done. Do you want to come on up? Have I been ignoring you the whole time? Sorry. So the shepherds were actually the first evangelists. They came, they saw the baby Jesus, and they couldn't help but go and tell everyone they met what they had seen. So, behind number 12, what have we got? Can you tell people what that is? It's a stable. What's in the stable? Yeah. Bethlehem. It's a nativity scene. How many kids are going to be in a nativity play? Not that many, okay. How many adults have been in a nativity play before? Do you know what I was? I wasn't the donkey, whoever that was yesterday. I was the innkeeper, and my one and only job was to walk up three steps and open the door, and I fell up the steps and head first through the door instead. So that's my one and only experience of being in a nativity play, is tripping up in the middle of church in front of everyone. Now, is the nativity the heart of Christmas? Yes, we're getting there, aren't we? We're getting closer to what the heart of Christmas is. So what we're going to do now is we're just going to pause for a moment, and we're going to watch a little video clip. So if the techie guys in Q Division at the back there, if they could get the video ready, that would be brilliant. And this is a video from a series called Why Do They Think It's Christmas? With Buck Denbert. It's from the same guys who made VeggieTales. And it kind of explains what the real true heart of Christmas is better than any way I think I could. So when we're ready...
Oh, towing and hearts overflowing with...
All right, tell us your story. And now, through the magic of a popsicle stick of puppetry, I present the true meaning of a Christmas, the upside-down kingdom. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world.
Wait, this sounds kind of familiar.
It sure does. Let's see where he's going with it.
Who is Caesar and what's a census?
Caesar, he was the king of everything. A real big shot.
And a census is when you count everybody and see how many people you got.
That's all right. Everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph, that's this guy, went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David.
You mean King David? Israel's best king ever?
Yeah, that's the one.
Is King David gonna turn upside down?
I'm not done yet. Joseph went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. This is a Mary. She's got a big tummy because she's going to have a baby. Anyway, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. Here he is. Isn't he a cute? Ahem. She wrapped him in a cloth and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
They put him in a what?
A manger. It's a feeding trough for animals.
Why would you put a baby in a feeding trough?
Because he was born in a barn.
My granddaddy was born in a barn.
You don't say.
First thing he saw was a horse. Thought it was his mother till he was 5 years old.
Can we get back to the story?
Sorry.
Ahem. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping a watch over their flocks at night. Here they are now. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified.
Why would they be terrified to see an angel? cute little babies with little wings and tiny hops.
Because that's not what angels look like. Angels weren't little babies, they were big. One person who saw one said it was like looking at lightning.
Oh, I can see where that might be a little frightening.
That's why the first thing angels always have to say when they show up somewhere is, "Don't freak out, I'm not gonna hurt you."
That's all right. So the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid," kind of like, "Don't freak out. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all of the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord."
Messiah? What's that?
Messiah means anointed one or chosen one, the one who has been chosen to save us.
This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in a cloth and lying in a manger.
The chosen one was in a feeding trough?
Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel. That means lots of angels. Praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger.
This is the story of how Jesus was born.
It sure is. It's from Luke chapter 2.
If Jesus is the chosen one, the one who can save the whole world, why was he born in a barn and put in a trough? Shouldn't he have been in a fancy palace?
Yeah, and why did the angels make this big announcement to a bunch of shepherds? They were just ordinary folk, like janitors or people who fix cars or cut grass. Why didn't they come to powerful people like kings or judges or rulers?
Yeah, the whole thing seems backwards and upside down.
Wait. Is that why you called it the Upside Down Kingdom? Now you've got it, my friends. The way Jesus' life began tells us God's new kingdom will be a very different kind of a kingdom. Not about the armies and the palaces, but about Jesus, the Son of God, giving up everything for us. His throne, his power, even his life. Instead of taking power, this king will give up his power for us.
He turned everything upside down.
That's why we give him so many names. Savior, Redeemer, Emmanuel.
Emmanuel? I've heard that in a song before. Oh, come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel.
I thought Christmas was about Jesus. Who's this Emmanuel guy?
Emmanuel is another name for Jesus. It means God with us.
Emmanuel, God with us.
Which he most certainly is not.
Why do you say that?
Well, look at the day we've had. My truck broke down, then those ladies were rude to us, then you guys come along, and what happens? Your sleigh breaks because of a rabbit. Where's God with us in all that?
I think you're missing the point, Chuck Wagon.
How so?
God with us doesn't mean nothing bad will ever happen. It doesn't mean you won't ever have a bad day.
Well, what's it mean then?
It means the ultimate bad thing will never happen to you.
The what?
He's right. Emmanuel is one of the names for Jesus. Jesus is God with us. This is the most important bit of Christmas. This is what Christmas is all about.
Oh, come on. I've heard that a million times. Giving, what Christmas is all about. Family, what Christmas is all about. Getting a great deal on a new TV, what Christmas is all about.
No, listen. The world says the real meaning of Christmas is all sorts of things. Shopping, family, big sales on TVs and refrigerators. But we know it's Jesus, right? That's why it's called Christmas.
Christ's Mass. Right.
Look, God made us and he loves us, but we can't be with God on our own.
Why not?
Because God is perfect and we're not. We're always messing up. We're always making mistakes and fighting and hurting each other's feelings.
That's true. I do mess up a lot.
I was messing up just now, being unkind about your truck breaking down.
I'm afraid I wasn't being very kind either.
For us to go to God, we would have to be as perfect as He is. Perfectly loving. Perfectly kind. Every second of every day.
Well, that's not gonna work.
No, it isn't.
There's a big old space between God and us that we just can't cross.
No matter how hard we try, we can't be perfect. And unless we're perfect, we can't go to God. So God came to us.
He did?
He did! He became human like us, Jesus! He gave up his throne in heaven, turned his life upside down, and then lived perfectly without ever messing up, so he could take all our mess-ups and pay for them himself.
He paid for our mess-ups?
That's right, Ian. That's what he did on the cross. That's why he was born, so in God's eyes, we could be perfect.
So we can be with him.
That's right. Being apart from God forever, that's the ultimate bad thing. We can't cross that distance, but God can.
Right. We couldn't go to God, so God came to us. Emmanuel.
We can't be good enough for God.
There's no way we can go to him.
But Jesus makes us good enough for God,
and that goodness we can show to him.
The goodness and graciousness of Jesus washes me whiter than snow.
So if I give my life to Jesus, then at last I'll know.
Be alone.
'Cause Jesus makes me good enough for God,
and in God I'll find my home.
Did you like that? Yeah. I've had two people asked me why we were watching that, and they shouldn't have been watching that, really, but what it was. It's called Buck Denver, and it's from a series called What's in the Bible. It's aimed at children, but apparently churches in America have shown it to their adult small groups, and they've learnt more theology through that than they have in Sunday mornings. So, do you know, I think the Christmas story has been around for such a long time, but yet it seems to be being forgotten. I've got some statistics here. Just 12% of adults know what the nativity story is. More than one-third of children don't know whose birthday Christmas is. And 51% of people now say that the birth of Jesus is irrelevant to their Christmas. And so over here what I've got is I've got our Christmas card. And it seems appropriate, if that's the case, to change the name from Christmas, to something else. So what I need is four volunteers. So anyone up here want to give me a hand? JJ, you can give me a hand. You can come and give me a hand, Libby. Yes, you can give me a hand in the stripy jumper. And do you want to come too? Yeah, that's great. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to stick up some slightly different names. So the first one we're going to put up, and let's see if we can peel off the sticky backing paper. There we go. Okay, can you just pop that up there on our Christmas card? So instead of talking about what the... Yeah, just anywhere there, that'll be perfect. Pop it on. And can you tell everyone what it says, just in case I can't read it? So it says, Happy Wintermas. Have you heard that one? Some councils have started calling their Christmas celebrations Wintermas celebrations or their winter festival. Do we like that? What about Australia and the Southern Hemisphere? It's not winter there, is it? So it doesn't really work for them. What do you think about that? Do you like that, guys? Wintermas? Should we keep Wintermas? No. Okay. All right. Who's done one already? Sorry. Do you want to have a seat for me just near so everyone else can see? If you've already had one, that would be great. Right. Who's going next? You going next, Kitty? What about, let's go for this one, okay? Yeah, let's get the backing paper off. And just stick this over the top of Wintermas, because we're not happy with Wintermas. Pop it on there for me. So instead it says, Happy Giftmas. Happy Giftmas. I haven't seen this one, but we have just had Black Friday, haven't we? And it wasn't so bad this year from what I can tell. But we all go nuts about presents. We We all go so nuts about getting the right presents for everyone, spending so much money on presents. And Joe gave a statistic a few weeks ago about the amount of money that was wasted and how much proportion of us, how much that would work out. What was it, something like £4,000, is it, for if the proportion of us represented the entire country and what they wasted on presents. So do we want to keep Happy Giftmas? Is it just about presents? No, okay. Let's see. Let's see if we can get a bit closer to what the heart of Christmas is. We've got two left. Jojo, you're going to do this one? Okay. You stick that one over the top of gift, because we're not happy with gift. So we're going to go for happy family mess. Do you want to do one as well? Jojo, maybe a pair of you could do it. Okay, that'd be all right. Okay, so I've only got one. Okay, so happy family mess. Is Christmas all about family? It's getting closer to the heart of Christmas, isn't it? But is that all it is? No, these people here, these 51% of people now say the birth of Jesus is irrelevant to their Christmas. It might be all about family, but actually I think it's about more than family. So we've got one more here. And typically this is the one that isn't going to peel nicely, isn't it? So JJ, why don't you do me a favor? Yeah. Why don't you just hold it in place? Oh, here we go, here we go. Yay, double-sided taped, brilliant. Okay, stick that on for me. What does that one say? Do you want to help as well? Come on, just push it on. Keep it there. Can you tell me what it says, JJ? Christ. I think we need to put Christ back into Christmas. And I think these things here, guys, if you want to give these guys a round of applause, thank you. We tried lots of alternatives, but we've come back to Christ being at the heart of Christmas. It is about Santa and presents and Christmas trees and food and all the other things we talked about. That's all part of Christmas. But at the heart of Christmas is something else. And actually, it is about gifts, and it is about family. It's about a different type of gift and a different type of family. So let's just see what's inside our card. I don't know if you can see that at the back. It's all about this, isn't it? Okay? Jesus came, and he gave us the ultimate gift. He gave us himself. He gave us himself so that we could be part, thank you, Joe, of God's family. So Christmas is about getting together with your kids and your relatives and traveling long distances and exchanging presents and decorating the house so it looks nice. But if we forget this bit, that he came for us to give himself as a gift so that we can be part of his family, we're kind of missing the point of what the heart of Christmas really is all about. Thanks, Joe. We'll just leave it there, I think. So how do we respond to that? How do we respond to this whole Advent conspiracy thing? It's not going to work, is it? I'll leave it there. So what we're going to do now is we're actually going to get up out of our seats, if that's okay with you guys. And we've put on lots of different activities. So don't move just yet, and I'll tell you what we've got in store. If you want to respond to this whole Advent thing through music, Nigel's going to do some stuff just up here on the mat with little ones. You did say you'd do that, remember? Okay? So Nigel's going to do some music up here. So if you want to respond to music, that's great. If you want to talk about what we're doing, there is lots of questions around. So you might find on your seats just some questions. Over in the cafe area and where the sofas are, Brian's going to be over in that area, and he's going to be holding a discussion of different people. So we're going to have a kind of a life group debate or discussion over there, and Brian's going to chair that and lead that. There's some questions over there. There's some Bible verses over there and some Bibles that you can go, and you can have a read of those, and you can answer some of the questions. We'll also put them up on the screen. So if you want to, you can stay where you are, and you can sit and talk to your neighbour about those questions instead. If you want to respond by praying, we've got yesterday's encounter gazebo. We've left it in place where it is over there. And in there's lots of different activities where you can write or you can draw or you can put different responses onto different bits of card or post-it notes, and you can pin them up on the various boards and ropes that are in there. And if you want to pray in there, then use that space to pray for one another, to use that as a bit of a ministry area, to talk to each other and to see what's going on in your Christmas and this Advent and talk to one another during that time. If you'd like to kind of make and do and create things, we've got a whole host of tables down that direction in the Jordan, the cafe area, or the normal cafe area, which has got lots of craft activities. You can do some writing, do some calligraphy. You can do some drawing, some painting. We also do have, if those of you who bought an Advent candle, we've got some clay and some decorations so you can make a base to put that candle in. So you can take that home with you, and then hopefully when it dries, you can put your candle in there and you can use that every day. So it's over to you guys what you want to do, how you want to respond. It is okay to grab a cup of coffee, and if we can have a cafe open, that'll be brilliant. It is okay to grab a cup of coffee or tea and just chat to your neighbour about what's going on. What I'd really love to see is everyone just engaging in different stuff and responding to God in your own way, whatever way you want to do that. So over to you. Go and have a look around and then make your decisions and choices about what you want to do today. There will also be, in 5 or 10 minutes, a puppet show over here. So once the music's finished at the front, we're going to do a puppet show over in the corner. If you want to come and watch that, come and sit towards the front or on any of the mats that are here.
So if you have under fives who would like to come and sing with Nigel and come and sit on the mat, if you want to do arts and crafts, then that's in the cafe. And if you're a grown up, then come over into our encounter area and come and connect here with some other people, or come connect with God over in the encounter area.
Okay, everyone, the puppet show will be up at the front in 2 to 3 minutes. So if you want to come and see the puppet show, come and have a seat near the front or on the rugs at the front here. The puppet show will be in 2 to 3 minutes.
So guys, what's going to happen now is the puppets are going to come. So if you want to come and watch the puppet show, particularly kids, you need to come and sit down here on this blue carpet. We're going to have a puppet show, short puppet show, and then we're going to sing a carol together to finish. So if you want to come and sit down at the front here as soon as you've finished your craft, probably on the blue mat where you'll get the best view over there. Okay. So as you finish your craft, if you want to come back this way.
Oh, can we fix it later on?
And kids, you might particularly want to come and sit near the front here. Chris, can you just sort of round them all up? That's it. Put your shaker down,
my darling. Put them in here, please. That's it, in there. Fantastic. Good job. Any more shakers to collect
up? Thank you. Look after your guitar
as well. Let me look after that for you. Good girl. Thank you.
20 seconds, okay? Oh, sorry. So what's going to happen is that we're just going to have the puppet show and then a carol to finish. The puppet show is about 5-10 minutes. And if you're a little one, you might want to come and watch that. Okay, so come and sit down on the carpet here. And grown-ups, if you're not watching this, that's fine, but you do need to be quiet. Shh.
Good morning, everyone. Are you sitting comfortably? Are you sure? Well, shall we begin? Shall we see what happens? Okay, hi, my name is Pastor Pete. And I want to tell you all about the very first Christmas. This is Mary. She was just an ordinary teenage girl. She had lots of friends. But sometimes she fell out with her friends. But she made up with her friends again. She loved her parents. And her parents loved her. She had a boyfriend. His name was Joseph. They loved each other. And they got engaged and set the date for their wedding. But one day, the most extraordinary thing happened. An angel appeared to Mary. Mary, God has chosen you to be the mother of Jesus. He will grow up to be the savior of the world. How can this happen? I'm not yet married. I don't have a husband. The power of God will touch your life. The child born will be God's son. If this is God's plan, then I am ready to play my part. 9 months later, Mary and Joseph were traveling to Bethlehem. Mary's baby was about to be born. And it was a long, long journey. But when they got to Bethlehem, there was nowhere for them to stay. But one innkeeper had somewhere for them to stay. There was no room in the inn, but there was a stable that they could sleep in. It was late at night before they settled down for the night. So boys and girls, I wonder how you felt if Mary had been you, or you had been Mary. What would have happened if an angel had appeared to you? Who would have been scared? Anyone? Scared? Who would have been really excited? Yeah, okay. What any else would you have felt? Would you have felt happy? I would have been trembling, I think. I would have been really not quite sure what to do if an angel had appeared to me. So you ready to find out what happens next? Yeah, are you sure? Okay. Just after Mary and Joseph settled into the stable at Bethlehem, something really strange happened on the hills just outside the town. A group of shepherds were out all night looking after their sheep. Suddenly, an army of heaven's angels appeared. Shepherds of Bethlehem, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in Bethlehem, a Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, sleeping in a manger. So the shepherds decided that they would go to Bethlehem to find the baby. They found the inn where Mary and Joseph were staying, and the innkeeper directed them to the stable. So boys and girls, how many of you like the sheep? Was he a silly sheep? What did he do? He tried to sneak up on the shepherds, didn't he? He tried to get as close as he could to them, and every time the shepherds saw him, he chased them away. And then what happened at the end? The sheep started chasing who? The shepherd, that's right. The sheep was chasing all after the shepherds. So, here comes the last part. Are you ready? It wasn't just angels and shepherds who were having a busy time that first Christmas day. Let me introduce to you the three wise men. The wise men had spent the last 2 years following this star. They believed that it was a sign from God that would lead them to the Savior of the world. And now the star seemed to be pointing them straight at Bethlehem. So they headed into town. It won't be Bethlehem. It must be Bethlehem. I'm just not sure. Bethlehem's too small. Bethlehem's the right size. I'm not sure. It can't be Bethlehem. It will be Bethlehem. I wish I was sure. Bethlehem is too poor. Bethlehem's fine. I'm still not sure. When they got to Bethlehem, they found the inn where Mary and Joseph had been staying. The innkeeper directed them to the stable. On coming to the stable, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And this is the story of the very first Christmas. The end! Thank you, everyone. If you're still making or doing stuff down at the back, that's absolutely fine. You carry on doing that. If you want to come in and join in our last carol for today, come and find a seat up at the front.
Why don't we stand up together? We're just going to sing O Come All Ye Faithful together. We haven't sung too many Christmas songs yet, but this one's a really good one to get us in the mood. And the words are actually a call to worship. A call from us to our own hearts, a call from us to our city and to our towns and neighbourhoods. As we say, come and ye faithful, come and worship. So whether you're young or old this morning, I hope that you've been reminded or inspired or challenged to keep thinking about Christmas, about the Advent conspiracy that we've been talking about, how to make Jesus the center of Christmas, how to stand against some of what our culture is saying to us about Christmas, and stand and be different and say, you know what, as believers in Jesus, we think that this is important. Why don't we worship together? Oh, come...